As they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many, had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to Christ. O Lord, we pray that you come this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit, that each of us may hear the word you have for us today. Two of the greatest presidents we've ever had have birthdays in February. And I refer to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. I remember they're the first two that I ever studied in school. I don't know whether we study presidents much anymore. I certainly knew those two at an early age. Abe Lincoln had a great sense of humor. If you've read some of his writings and stories about him, you know that that is true. And one of the things that he found a lot of humor in was his own appearance. He reportedly was a very plain-looking man. And I like particularly one story that Abe told on himself. And he said, "Sometimes I feel like the ugly man who met an old woman traveling through the forest." So the old woman says, "You're the ugliest man I have ever seen." The old man replied, "I can't help it." The woman said, "Well, I guess not, but at least you could stay at home." It takes a great deal of character to laugh at yourself. We give thanks, of course, for men like Washington and Lincoln. They made significant impact on history. Nevertheless, their significance is dwarfed by a simple carpenter who lived in a little town called Nazareth 2,000 years ago. If you ever doubt that Jesus was a very special person that was injected into human history, reflect on how miraculous that is. A simple carpenter living in Nazareth. This humble builder, and there must have been hundreds or thousands, but this one is recognized as the Son of God. That would happen is something of eternal and cosmic importance. Our lesson from today from Mark's gospel illustrates why Jesus captured the devotion of the people of his time. It was the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples had been in the synagogue where Jesus healed a man with an unclean spirit. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon, Peter, and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And once they arrived, they immediately told Jesus about her. And Mark tells us the fever left her and she began to wait on them. That's so much for the role of women in that time. She began to wait on them. No rest for the weary, I suppose. But the point of the story is that Jesus healed her, as he healed many others. And it didn't take long for the word to get around about Jesus' wondrous acts of casting out demons and of healing the sick. That evening, says Mark, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Can anyone tell me why they waited until sunset? It was a Sabbath. I knew there'd be somebody looked at one. It was a Sabbath, and pious people just did not travel on the Sabbath, so they had to wait for sundown. And they were the pious people of the Jewish community. But they came as soon as they could. They wanted to be near Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, there are 10 consecutive stories that tell about Jesus healing people with various diseases and conditions. It's a significant part of the gospel message. Where Jesus is, there is healing. Sometimes that healing is physical. In one of his books, Robert A. Schuller, it's the younger Schuller, not the elder, tells about Laurie Jones. He's the wife of the actor Dean Jones, and some of you may be old enough to remember Dean Jones. Of course, some of us aren't. Doesn't matter in the story. He starred in many Walt Disney productions, such as The Love Bug, the original one, not the remake. The Shaggy D.A., I remember that one. He starred in the TV series The Teddy Bears. I don't remember that very much. Looking to the TV expert. In February of 1974, Laurie and Dean, this is his account that Schuller related, were vacationing in Mexico City. And one day they were sightseeing, and they decided to take a tour of a Roman Catholic cathedral there in Mexico City. And they followed the tour guide around, and Dean began to make offhand comments like, "This place must be impossible to heat." To Dean, the cathedral was just another architectural site that they were seeing on their vacation. He was not prepared for the priest's final remark at the end of the tour. The priest said, "If some of you need physical healing, now is the time to pray." Nor was he prepared for his wife's response to the priest's suggestion. Laurie Jones turned to her husband and said, "Let's pray about my arthritis." Laurie was taking 30 aspirin a day to relieve the pain in her hands. Some of you, I'm sure, know what that is like. You know, I wonder, I think it's a miracle to begin with that her stomach could handle that much aspirin. But I do know I asked a rheumatologist one time about how much aspirin you take for arthritis. I said, "You take it till your ears ring." That's one of the first signs of aspirin overdose, is the tinnitus. The trouble is you get older, you have a little ringing in your ears anyhow, so that's not a good sign. But that morning, Dean had massaged Laurie's hands to alleviate the cramping and the pain so she could go on the sightseeing tour. And it gave her temporary relief, but she, of course, like all of us, would wanted more. She wanted a permanent solution to her chronic pain. Dean almost laughed when Laurie mentioned praying about her arthritis. The only thing, he said, that kept him from laughing was the thought of Laurie's intense pain. He considered her suggestion seriously then. He says, a great man of faith I wasn't. But I couldn't resist my wife's request. He said, what have I got to lose? So he bowed his head. He prayed silently. God, heal Lori's arthritis. Of course, Lori's prayer was much longer than that, however, and about 5 minutes later, they were walking out of the cathedral. Lori says, I think something happened in there. Great, Dean said to her, and as he thought, if praying makes you feel better, that's fine. 3 days later, Lori stopped taking aspirin. He said, Dean watched her move her hands without winching with pain. He said, surely that was a miracle. He was beginning to see it now. But would it last? They waited for the pain to return. 2 weeks passed, no pain. A month, a year. Lori had been truly healed. It wasn't the church. It was the prayers and the power of Christ to heal. I wish that I could say that every prayer for physical healing is answered just the way Lori Dean's prayer was answered. I imagine if I did that, that some of you would have very serious questions after the service today. Some of them might go like, why didn't God heal my daughter, my father, my mother, my friend, and so forth? Some of you might say, painfully, I prayed day and night. And that's why the church is very cautious about prayer and healing. It's a very complex subject, and none of us can truly understand it. But Jesus does heal. Trust Him when you're hurting just as much as you trust Him when you're healthy. No one is ever sorry for praying and trusting, even if physical healing never comes. Jesus heals. Sometimes the healing is physical. And sometimes the healing is emotional. I'll return to the Shuler family a bit. Dr. Shuler, the older Shuler of Crystal Cathedral fame, once told an important story about our former Secretary of State, Dean Rusk. Of course, that's been some time ago. Rusk held his high office during the Kennedy and Johnson administrations. Global tensions were at a high meeting level at that time, and they went to a high-level meeting of government officials and of several leading governments of the day, and the Cold War was very real. We lived under the umbrella of a nuclear holocaust at any time. And when Russ' plane landed in Washington, D.C. from the European conference, of course, a news commentator shoved a microphone in his face and it said, what are the chances for peace, Mr. Secretary? And there was a strong pause by Dean Rusk, and he answered, it all depends on whether man is rational or emotional. That was an unusual answer for a public official to a reporter. It all depends on whether man is a rational or an emotional creature. After much time, Shuler said he came to the conclusion, and I think it's true, even though he doubted in the beginning, that man is first of all and last of all an emotional creature. I believe he's right. There are people that carry around hurts that last a lifetime. Their friends and family say, get over it. It's been 20 years. Let it go. And they know with their brain that they should let it go. If only they could. It would be better for them if they could, but somehow the hurt just won't heal. I have only one suggestion. Turn it over to Jesus. Pray daily for his healing power. And I would add that nothing else will work. Relying on your intellect, relying on your emotions, is certainly not going to work. I ran across something recently, last few weeks, that somebody might find useful in seeking healing for your emotions. Tanya Lerman is a PhD and a Stanford psychologist and anthropologist. You know, people get into academia and they get multiple degrees, so they get very, very specialized. She happens to be one of those. But she wrote a book, When God Talks Back. And for her book, she studied many evangelical Christians who claim to have a two-way conversation with God. And she discovered these believers had three prayer techniques in common. First of all, they used imagination. When praying the 23rd Psalm is a very good example, they not only saw the Lord as the actual shepherd, but also felt themselves lying down in green pastures, being led beside still waters. They used their imagination to make the scripture real. They imagined the sound of the still water, the feel of the grass, the look of the vegetation. And the second technique they used was emotion. While immersed in the 23rd Psalm, while walking through the valley of the shadow of the death, they recalled losing someone they loved, letting themselves re-experience that sorrow, made that scripture personal. And the final technique that they used was connection. They imagined God as their shepherd walking beside them through the valley and having an actual conversation with him. That's when most of them said they heard God speak to them. It might profit us all if we use this technique in our prayer time, or some of our prayers, certainly. And we are told to pray the scriptures. So these techniques in scripture are very important. Imagination, emotion, and connection. Of course, hurts are not always from the past. Sometimes we need help getting through the current situation. But the testimony of scripture is that Jesus heals. He healed Mary of Magdala of seven demons. And we do not know what those demons were. But healing can come when we bring our hurts to Jesus, whether they be physical hurts or emotional hurts. At times, the healing Jesus brings is relational. Relationships are so delicate. Whether they are relationships at work, at school, at church, in social relationships, or primary relationships in the home. One night at a dinner table, a wife commented to her husband, "When we were first married, you took the small piece of steak and gave me the larger. Now you take the large one and leave me the smaller. You don't love me anymore." The husband replied, "Nonsense, darling. You just cook better now." I don't know if you could get by with that one or not. It's easy to joke about marital problems, but they are a source of heartache to many adults. and a crushing blow to many children who are affected by those problems. There was a study a few years ago in Psychology Today, and it was a study of marriages that last. Most studies, you know, are done on marriages that come apart and why they came apart. But this study was on marriages that last. And some of the conclusions were a bit surprising. This study showed that if both husband and wives, the most important factor of marital success, when each could say, "My spouse is my best friend." One of the most important factors in marriage is give and take. The author of the study found very few marriages that were lived equally. One woman married for 44 years said she would advise all young couples to be willing to give 70% and not expect any more than 30%. If either partner enters into a marriage determined that all transactions in the marriage will be equal, a 50-50 sharing, the marriage is going to suffer significantly. As one husband in the study put it, "Sometimes I give far more than I receive, and sometimes I receive far more than I give. But my wife does the same. If we weren't willing to do that, we would have broken up a long time ago." Marital fads come and go, but there's one constant that was true 50 years ago when it first became popular, and it's still true today. The family that prays together stays together. Now, whereas the statistics for marriage coming apart are as dismal overall for church people as for non-church people, it is not true for couples who commit in a serious way to their faith. When Jesus is present, there is healing. Simon Peter's mother-in-law discovered that. And for the past 2,000 years, millions of other people have discovered it as well. Whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, or the healing of a relationship, trust Christ. Healing does not always come as we would choose. But a life of constant prayer will reassure us that we are not alone. God is with us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.